Amen. And this program is about 9 years old. I found it on a CD that I've had here.
This is the Amen Corner program with Brother Dave Moran from right here in Wilson, North Carolina. This program is being brought to you today as a seed of faith by my personal ministry, knowing that God's Word won't return to Him void. And now for today's message from the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Our scripture today is going to be found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll begin at the first verse. And this is Paul speaking here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What the Bible is saying here according to the Scriptures is that the Old Testament has prophesied the death and resurrection of Christ, and that's one thing that's according to the Scriptures. That so many things back in the Psalms 22 and all over the Bible, Isaiah 53, there's so many scriptures in there predicting Christ's death and resurrection. And also you might take it as when you read the Bible, the way Jesus died in the New Testament, it's all according to the Scriptures. And there have been some scriptures written at this time, and Paul is saying that He died and rose again according to the Scriptures. The way the Scriptures say it, that's the way it happened. And that He was seen of Cephas and of the 12. And Cephas is Peter, by the way. And seen of the 12. And after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believe. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after they which are Christ at His coming. And then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let me read this verse 26 again. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is the last enemy that we shall conquer through Christ. And now we're in a battle. I stay out at Brit Haven Nursing Home here in Wilson just about from 2-3 o'clock, maybe lunchtime, on until 9 o'clock at night. And I go home and I'm there with my wife, of course, and I visit with a lot of people. I help out some of the services they have there. And those people in my own generation, I'm 63 years old, my wife is in her 70s, and we're on the front line of that battle. We are on the front line. You know, you don't have to be old to die necessarily. There's a lot of young people that are dying, some in their teens, and we've heard on the stories in the news, drownings and being shot and killed, and car accidents are abundant. But those that are elderly, those that are in their 60s, especially like at Brit Haven and other rest homes, it seems like hardly does a month goes by but one of them has gone on to meet their reward. We deal with that every day, one rest home to another. There's people that go on, they're dying right and left, because that's the age that they're at, and they have sicknesses and things that are taking them out, and they are on the front line of this battle. Now, I've never been in the military myself. I've had vision trouble all my life, and I couldn't get in the service even when I tried back in the 60s. But I do know a few things about war and fighting, and I know that on the front line, you want to have your supplies on hand. You want to have that supply train running. You want to have your supply line in good shape. You've got to supply your front line. That's where the battle is. And I know how to lose a war is to not take care of your front line of supplies. And what am I getting at here? I'm getting at praying through and seeking God. You've got to have God in your life if you're at that age, and especially and before. You've got to prepare before you get to that age. You've got to know the Lord. You've got to know Him. You've got to pray through. You've got to seek God and get those supplies from Him. You need to take time to worship God, to read His Word. That's where you get your food, your spiritual food. And you get a season of refreshing from prayer and from seeking God and making sure things are all right between you and Him. Then you've got a good supply line for this battle, and you'll be all set when the battle gets into your territory. And Sister Ida Hamilton had a tent revival just recently, and I was able to attend a couple nights, and I wished I'd been able to attend more, but they really helped me in the spiritual battle. You know, you sit real close. If you go to that meeting, they have a meeting on Friday nights, and go out, and it's on Lane Street Extension here in Wilson. Some Friday night around 7:30, 8 o'clock, be down there and listen to them. They will really help you in the Lord. They'll strengthen you, and because they are faithful, they will really help you with worship and with praying through what I'm talking about, and keep that supply line going. You know, if you've ever known Pentecost, you know, if you were born in the fire, you can't stand the smoke, and they don't allow any smoke around Sister Hamilton's church. That's a house of prayer for all people. They have been a great help to our church, and I know they'll help you. Just give them a try. And while we're on the subject of worship, I'd like to put in here this song about Jesus. It will help, I believe. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's something about His name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth something about that name. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about His name. The Bible says way back in Genesis when Enoch was born, it says, then began man to call upon the name of the Lord, and you need to call upon Him today. If you do, you won't regret it. You never will. He will answer you. He will answer you personally if you mean it. If you're really sincere and you call upon His name, He will answer you. He says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Amen. And I've found it to be so, that He is a personal Savior. He will meet with you. He wants to meet with you personally, and He will do it through prayer and through seeking Him. We're still in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to skip down. We stopped at 26 here, but I'm going to go down here to 35 and begin again. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And he's talking about sowing grain, corn, or wheat, something like that. And you put it in the ground and it dies, as it were. It's covered up. It's in the ground. But then it comes back up here in 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body that hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. In other words, a grain of corn will come up as a corn plant. It's not the same thing you planted. It's something different, but it sprouted out of that. And the two little leaves are in there, and the root, they go down, the leaves come up, you've got a new plant. And said, all flesh is not the same flesh in 39, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now that's a scientific fact. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. In other words, when the resurrection of the dead, when you're saved, you come up with a new body, it's going to be a spiritual body. There is a natural body in 44 here, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. For the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such as so they are that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You know, and I was talking before about heaven itself, and even on a blog that I have, that heaven is the heavenly city. New Jerusalem is going to be 1,500 miles high as it is wide, and it lies four square, 1,500 miles, but it's going to be 1,500 miles high, and we can only survive a few, like a couple miles without oxygen. So the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we would not survive, and the International Space Station is only 250 miles up from the earth, and here the kingdom of God is going to be 1,500 miles up, you know, up into space. It'll be right up into space if things are the same as far as the atmosphere. I think they call it the troposphere, is like 7 miles up. Beyond that, you don't have much air. You know, you don't have anything hardly. I mean, you're past the clouds and the weather. You go up 7 miles. Here we're talking 1,500. He said in 51, behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. That last enemy, death, is going to be swallowed up in victory, in life. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No, not if you can attain to eternal life. And what we're talking about here, this new spiritual body that is being ready to be brought forth. Hello, we'll pause right now, and here's me both playing the harmonica and singing a song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I believe that's right for right now in this program. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tender snares. But I return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and righteousness engage the waiting souls to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share, till from Mount Jesus' lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour. Amen. Praise God for that sweet hour of prayer. But we are talking about fighting in the battle. You know, do you know what's going to be your biggest battle for that sweet hour of prayer? It's going to be your own flesh. When you get up early in the morning, I've gotten up at 4:30 in the morning, 5:30, and tried to pray. And my biggest enemy would be my own flesh. Your own body will want to go to sleep. The enemy will pull tricks on you. I like electronics, and I do a lot of electronic work, and I believe it's the enemy or perhaps the flesh. I don't know one. It could be either one, but they'll pump me with a whole bunch of ideas on electronics, a way of solving a problem with transistors or something like that. I'll get a circuit in my mind in the morning. I think it's just the enemy trying to get me to think about something else, anything else but prayer, and he'll or concerns of the day, whatever you're interested in, whatever's on your mind, these will all pop up when you try to pray. And that is the enemy that you've got to overcome to keep that supply line open. You've got to just dismiss all those thoughts. I like to ask the Lord to sanctify the house, sanctify the whole house, and plead the blood of Jesus if you have to, and usually you do, to sanctify this house and cast out every other thought, every other thing, you know, that may be on your mind and may be trying to vie for your attention, you have to keep your mind on God and pray through. You have to pray and know that you mean what you're saying, and really reach out to God in prayer. The sweet hour of prayer, we often say on the Harbor Light program, that sweet hour of prayer has gone down to about a sweet 2 minutes of prayer. In many cases it has, but it needs to be that sweet hour, at least an hour of prayer. And if you get the right prayer going, if you really make a connection, time will not matter. Time will cease to matter when you're in prayer with God, and it could go on for 2 hours, and you will come out of that prayer refreshed and ready to face the day, or if it's the evening prayer, you'll be ready to face the evening, whatever it is, you know, you'll come out of that prayer more refreshed than if you just lay there and didn't pray at all. God, he says there's a season of refreshing, and you receive that. You get your supplies, I'm talking about. You get that new faith. You get that new courage. You get that new zeal to face the day ahead or the night ahead. You know, you're all set. You know, it's better than taking a tranquilizer or anything at night. And it's better than any pep pill you could ever take to face the day. That sweet hour of prayer, like it says, you'll escape the tempter's snares, and you'll find that sweet relief, you know, when you're through praying and when you know you've touched God. What a great and a wonderful feeling it is indeed. Right now, here's what I consider a beautiful singer. He's going to be singing in the Gaelic tongue. It's Callum Kennedy. He's been on the program before. And he's singing in the Irish Gaelic language, one of the Psalms. Thank you. Kellen Kennedy singing in the Gaelic tongue, and he had some other people backing him up. It was Psalms 117 and 150, according to the information that I have. Of course, I don't speak Gaelic, but here is that psalm. Now, Psalms 117 happens to be the shortest chapter in the Bible, and it reads as this: "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." That's Psalms 117 and Psalms 150. And this is Psalms 150. In my note in the Bible, it says it's a doxology closing the five books of the Psalms. It is the last psalm in the Bible here. And it starts out, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and the harp, praise him with the timbrel and with the dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and with organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And it helps a lot. I just thought about it as I was putting this on the recording today, that quoting the Psalms is a great way to get in prayer. You know, I often quote the Psalms back to the Lord when I'm praying, and I'll say something like from the Psalms, "Thou openest thy hand, Lord, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And great is God, and greatly to be praised. Walk about Zion, tell the towers thereof, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces." There are so many things that I can remember from the Psalms, and it's good to go through the book of Psalms, because a lot of them are prayers that David has prayed unto God, and he's praising the Lord, and it helps us with praise and worship as far as putting it the right way. You know, it's all spiritual in the Psalms, the wonderful words of David and other ones that have penned these Psalms. It's a great way to help in prayer, to remember these Psalms, to praise the Lord. And you keep on praising the Lord, and add your own words too, add your own thoughts. And if you've got a request that you want the Lord to look in on, add that in there too, and just keep praising the Lord. You know, you don't want to just get into prayer and say, "Gimme, gimme, gimme." You know, that we know not to do that, but you get into these Psalms.
Amen. And this program is about 9 years old. I found it on a CD that I've had here.
This music concludes our program for today. I hope it was a blessing to you. This is Brother Amen Dave asking you to tune in again next week at 8 o'clock in the morning to 8:30 for the Amen Corner. And please stay tuned to WLLY 1350 AM on your dial and hear the Gospel Time program with the Harbor Light Church coming up at 9:30 this morning. God bless you is our prayer.